The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
As you know, we are currently engaged in an exposition of the book of Romans. Today's sermon is a follow-up to our exploration of the 10th chapter, where we learned about some Jews who were in need of salvation, but not eternal salvation. Rather, they needed gospel salvation. You see, they had a zeal of God, that is, a zeal imparted to them by God in the new birth, but it was an ignorant and misplaced zeal. Their zeal was not according to knowledge. On the other hand, Paul had a great zeal for these people and a great desire that they should come to embrace the message of the gospel. This was a proper zeal, and as we will see, this zeal ought to inform and guide our own. Join us today as we begin to learn more about Paul's evangelistic zeal in Romans 10.
Hark the voice of love and mercy sounds aloud from Calvary. See it rends the rocks asunder, shakes the earth and veils the sky.
It is finished, it is finished.
to the book of Romans, the 10th chapter tonight. 10th chapter of Romans, where we left off this morning. Some of what I want to preach to you may be replowing some old ground, but hopefully what we see tonight will be just a little bit more about what we learned this morning as we began to look at Paul in chapter 10 applying what he has already laid the groundwork for in chapters 8 and 9. In fact, the whole book of Romans. You know that in chapter 8, we started out the chapter seeing that there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, which is an amazing statement after we have covered what we covered in chapter 7. You remember that chapter 7 is where Paul began to express to us in a very vivid and fervent way how that even though he, as we will see, understands that he is a child of God, he is struggling in this life. He is continuing to struggle with this. I struggle with the sin that's around me. I see things that happen in this world, and they're wicked things that occur in this world. I was watching a little short movie, I guess it was, on YouTube about a school shooting. It was a fictional account, but it was about this, very similar to some of the real accounts that we read about. It was so disturbing to me and so vexing to my soul. And as I watched what these wicked people were doing to these children and these kids, and it wasn't that graphic, but it was, obviously you knew what was going on. And I was like, God, please just strike them down, and Lord, come quickly, come back. As Brother Buddy's been preaching to us from the book of Revelation, Lord, come quickly. Put this thing right, okay? The sin around me vexes me. I get so frustrated with the things that I see in this world, the things people do, the things people say, the things our politicians promote, the things our world is standing for that are so contrary to the Word of God. And I get vexed by the things I see in our community and the people I deal with and interact with, that are not doing right. They're doing things that are wrong, or at the very least, they're misled on them, and it's so frustrating to me. But that wasn't the thing that vexed Paul the most. It's not the thing that vexes me the most. We read about in Paul's writing in chapter 7 and verse 15. Paul's got an inward focus. And he says, that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Beloved, the things I hate are what I do sometimes. Now, I'm thankful I hate them, Brother Buddy. There's a time I didn't hate them. There's a time that I was just happy to get my way, But now, thanks to the sovereign grace of God in changing my vile spirit, translating me from darkness into his marvelous light through the new birth, I hate the things that come up within me. He said, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that's good. I reckon there's a law written in my heart that tells me that what I'm doing is wrong and I want to do right. So now then it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Why does he know that? Why do I know it? For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. You ever get to the end of the day? Say, Lord, I'm going to do my best to do better tomorrow. But I don't know how. I just don't know. I'm trying. God, I'm trying. I want to do better, but I just don't know how. And He goes on to say that, and this is amazing. He says, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I recognize what's in me. I recognize in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now, listen to this. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's the most vexing thing of all in my life.
You may vex me. Someone else may vex me. But there's nobody that vexes me more than I vex myself.
Right.
Nobody. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And then, on the heels of that, as he cries out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he says in verse 1 of chapter 8, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's not talking about people who are doing right. That's talking about people who now have a new nature, a spiritual nature, whereby they can walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And you know what that tells us? We are now not under condemnation. Even though I'm condemned to myself very often, and you may condemn me, and you may condemn me, and others may look at me, and I can look at myself and say, man, I am condemnable, but in the sight of God, there's no condemnation. Isn't that glorious? And then he brings us down to chapter 8 and verse 28. We know that all things work together for good. He's not talking about all things without exception there. He's about to tell us what all things work for our good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Period. End of story right there. Isn't that glorious? You want to know the true Roman road to salvation? That's it. And Jesus walked it and you didn't. You didn't. That's right. You didn't. And I didn't. But Jesus did. And he's laid this groundwork. And then he gets us into chapter 9. Well, at the end of chapter 8, he tells us about how amazing the doctrine of election is. It's about the mercy and compassion of God, not about the wrath of God. He answers the objections to it. He lays all this groundwork. And as we saw this morning, he brings us down to chapter 10. And he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, the ground that I probably am going to replow just a little bit tonight is to remind us, well, first of all, that the salvation under consideration is not eternal salvation. He said, I'm praying they might be saved. He's talking about saved in a timely sense by embracing the gospel message of the finished work of Jesus Christ. He's just told us about the eternal salvation. That's taken care of. That's done. That's one and done, as they say. He has completed it. It is finished. Meant it is finished on the cross. It's taken care of. But there's a salvation here that we saw this morning in believing and embracing the gospel message. And let me be clear about that. Embracing the gospel message is an act of your will. Okay? Now remember, eternal salvation is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth in verse 16 of chapter 9, but of God that showeth mercy. The doctrine of election teaches us that eternal salvation is not something we work up within ourselves to will or to do. Okay, we don't do either. We don't will it and we don't work it. God has to do it all and he applies it to us. But here is a salvation that is dependent upon us exercising our will. And it's embracing the gospel message, believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ is something we do in this life. You know, we're not going to have any question in heaven. We're going to believe him. There's nobody who is dead today who has died physically. There is nobody who is either in heaven or hell that has any question about who is God. Amen. You know, there's no question. We don't have to go down to the pits of hell and say, now, come on, don't you believe in him? Don't you understand? They know. Every knee will bow. You know, every tongue shall confess. And by the way, let me just be clear, because sometimes we get this false idea that people in hell are begging to just give me one more chance, Lord. Lord, just give me one more chance. I'll trust you. I'll believe in you. I'll serve you. That's not what they're doing down there. You know, when the end of time, Brother Buddy's taught us about this, when the Lord comes back and they're not going to pray, oh, Lord, just one more chance. They're going to say, rocks fall on us. They're not even going to pray to God. They're going to pray for the rocks in the mountains to fall on. People in hell, people on earth who are by nature, you and I fit in that category by the human nature, hate God, are enemies of God. You know, in our nature, our human nature, we're enemies of God. We hate Him. We're not neutral little creatures running around waiting to be swayed one way or the other. We're not on the fence, beloved. We're in the camp of the enemy. And we have to be taken out of that camp and put into God's camp. Those who are in the camp of the enemy that God never operates upon stay in the camp of the enemy. They hate God, okay? They hate God. But there's not going to be a question about believing in heaven. You're going to believe. You're going to know. Actually, that's not even faith in heaven. Faith is going to dissipate. Knowledge will be. You will know He is the Lord, and you'll know all that you need to know about Him. I used to say you'll know all about Him, but you'll never know all about Him. But you'll know all you need to know about Him in heaven. Okay? So the whole point that I'm trying to get across is that belief is for here and now. Preaching the gospel message is for here and now. Paul beseeching, Paul praying for these people is for here and now. There'll be no need for prayer in heaven. There'll be no need for beseeching in heaven. But here and now, Paul has a zeal for his fellow children of God who have yet to embrace the cross, who have yet to embrace the gospel message. Remember what we said. We're not talking about Paul trying to do one better than God and come up with some additions to the covenant of grace. You know, he's not saying, if you go back to chapter 9, he says, verse 2, he said, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren and my kinsmen according to the flesh. He's not saying, God, you got it wrong in the covenant of grace. I'm feeling a lot of sorrow and heaviness for these people that are not elect of God, not children of God, and never will be. He's not saying, just let me be a second Christ and go be accursed and go to hell and so that some others might be added to the covenant of grace. Beloved, the covenant of grace was established before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And those that were chosen in Christ is a fixed number. It's a vast multitude that no man can number. But it's a fixed number, and there's not a scribe in heaven waiting on Paul to get good enough in his preaching to get some more added to the list. Amen. Not doing that, okay? So as we saw this morning, and we've talked about it already in our study on Romans, Paul has a zeal, but it's a proper zeal, and it's a zeal for those Israelites, his kinsmen according to the flesh, who have been regenerated, but nonetheless have continued to reject the gospel message. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And then he says this. This is the message Paul preached consistently, always. And this is what we preach here at this church and should continue to preach. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, I've heard it said that evangelism, true evangelism just being the spreading of the gospel message, that true evangelism is just one hobo telling another hobo where to find something to eat. That's all I am. I'm a hobo. I'm a beggar. I'm a vagrant. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim in a strange land. And all I can do is tell you, if you find yourself in that same position, where to find something to eat. And yet here it is in the Word of God. Here it is in the house of God. Okay? And that's what Paul's teaching. He's saying, listen, you are out here establishing your own righteousness, trying to work your way to heaven. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. You need to believe that. You need to rejoice in that. You need to embrace that message. And that's what we do as a church, is it not? That's what the ministry is all about, is preaching that message to regenerated children of God, to try to help them to see what it is that got them regenerated in the first place. Now, we talked a little bit about this morning, but I want to focus in on the two zeals that we see in this passage. And that's really what I want to focus on for the rest of the service. We see here the zeal of Paul, and we see the zeal of the Jews. Now, I'm just going to briefly touch on the zeal of the Jews because we talked about it this morning, but just remember, it is a zeal of God. Verse 2 said, I bear them record, they have a zeal of God. That is, in the Greek, in the genitive case, which denotes possession, it's not a zeal they worked up in themselves. It's a zeal given to them by God. It is God's zeal that's been imparted into their hearts through the new birth, okay? This zeal is of God. These are not unregenerate reprobates with no spiritual nature, because if they were, they'd have a complete inability to grasp the gospel message in the first place, and Paul would be wasting his time. But these are a people with a zeal of God. Okay? The word zeal literally means heat. Okay? Heat. It denotes the idea of ardor, excitement of mind, or fervor of spirit. And it's from a verb that means to boil. To boil. Okay? Now, zeal overall is a good thing. I've never enjoyed working with a lazy person, have you? I don't enjoy serving in any capacity with somebody who's lazy. Somebody that doesn't have any zeal for anything. But as we said this morning, you can have a misplaced zeal. These Jews here had a misplaced zeal. They were trying to work their way to heaven. Now, they were zealous about it, apparently. They had a zeal of God. They weren't just out there lackadaisically trying to be. You know, those Pharisees, Nicodemus and people like that who were children of God but who were misled and subsumed by all that Pharisaical thinking over there, they were good people in general. I mean, as far as morally speaking, they did good moral things and they tried to do the right thing, but the problem was it was a misplaced zeal. They had a zeal for doing right, but it was a misplaced zeal because they were trying to use their righteousnesses to get them to heaven when the Bible is clear that all their righteousnesses are filthy rags.
We're going to pause the message here for now. We want you to join us again tomorrow where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.